I read that very few, if any, of Nobel Prize winners make a significant impact after they've won the Nobel Prize. I mean, after all, what is there to life after winning such a prize? In many fields, that's the pinnacle. You've reached the top. What else can you do after that? They have achieved the greatest success, and so many just stop growing. A church leader who died in the year 1100 had this written on his tomb. When I was young and free, and my imagination had no limits, I dreamed of changing the world. As I grew older and wiser, I discovered the world would not change. So I shortened my sight somewhat and decided to change only my country. But it too seemed immovable. As I grew into my twilight years, in one last desperate attempt, I settled for changing only my family, those closest to me. But alas, they would have none of it. And now, as I lie on my deathbed, I suddenly realize, if I had only changed myself first, then by example, I would have changed my family. From their inspiration and encouragement, I would then have been able to better my country. And who knows, I may have even changed the world. So the point of these two things I've brought up thus far is this. Remember to grow daily. And I wonder if, in that last example that I just read from, that this man did not grow. He did not see the need for his own growth first. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus taught the need for growth. And that it is a daily thing. As you all know, there are plenty of important things to do in life. In this world. But sometimes, we have to put those things aside. Daily, we have to put those things aside for a moment and spend some time with the Lord for daily growth. Starting at verse 38 of Luke 10, you will read this. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. If we do not choose the good part that is needed daily, then we shall not achieve success in life. That is the true success that the Lord wants us to have. This is now the third and final sermon that I'm giving in the series on success. So, number one, we need to choose the good part. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. Mary made a decision. to place that time with Jesus over her earthly duties. Does that mean that she would never give attention to those things that her sister wanted her to be busy doing? Well, of course not. Of course she would do those things. We can't survive in this world unless we do those things. But the thing is for how long would she have Jesus? He would only be there for a certain amount of time. And I think our days are like hers. Daily demands. Quickly squeeze out time with the Lord. Now, for me personally, the best time to do that is when I get up. Before anything else. Well, I get my coffee, okay. Then I go sit down and start reading Scripture. And if you're like me, if I do it second or third, or if I sleep in too long and then try to have this time, all the other things I need to be doing for the day just start popping into my mind. And I have a hard time concentrating. I have a hard time spending my time with the Lord, especially in the Scriptures, as I ought. I'm suddenly thinking, oh, I need to talk to Nathan about this when we both get to the office. Oh, I need to remember to visit so-and-so in the hospital. I've got to remember that the house needs this repair and so forth and so on. So many things, as you probably know. Psalm 1 shows that the child of God who is blessed and prosperous chooses the good part every day. And when you do this one particular thing that Psalm 1 speaks about, it will lead you to all the other ingredients for success. In fact, I really believe I could just give you this one passage, scrap the rest of this sermon, what I said in the beginning of this sermon, and the other two sermons, and you've got it right here. If you can nail down this one passage, and by nailing down, I mean practice it, daily, you will learn everything else that you need for success. In Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, the Holy Spirit moved the psalmist to write, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." And here's the result. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper." Psalm 1 shows that biblical success is a tree. Let's say in this area, a redwood and not a zucchini. Therefore, I want to encourage you to be a redwood. Be a tree. You know, we often want success like a zucchini. You put that seed in the ground, and what happens? Man, does that thing take off. Soon the plant comes up easily. I mean, it's one of the easiest things to grow. I hope there's not someone in the congregation who has tried to plant zucchini, tried to grow it, and they couldn't grow it. Well, let's talk afterwards. Maybe we can figure out what's wrong there. But they're relatively easy to grow. And what happens when the fruit, the vegetable, starts to appear? Well, pretty soon back here in the table, we see them showing up, don't we? Big old honking things like that, you know? So it's fast and it's abundant. But remember this, that a zucchini is a squash. And in the end, it's squashed. Not so with the redwood. The redwood, grows slowly, as you know, taking a long time to grow, and it provides much even when it's cut down. It still provides a great amount. But either way, either plant, whether you're a zucchini or a redwood, both plants grow daily, and when growth stops, death begins. Listen to this quotation from a man by the name of Whit Hobbs. I'm not really sure who he is, but I like what he said. Success is waking up in the morning. Whoever you are, wherever you are, however old or young, and bounding out of bed because there's something out there that you love to do, that you believe in, that you're good at, something that's bigger than you are. And you can hardly wait to get at it again today. Boy, how true. Therefore, find what you were created to do and do it. That's what happened in the book of Esther. Esther's success did not come immediately. In fact, she didn't know why she was growing as a redwood, gaining great height and stature that everyone would know and recognize. But as you may know, if you don't know the story of Esther, I'd encourage you to read it, but she becomes queen of the Persian Empire. But one of the advisors of the king has devised a plan to exterminate all the Jews. Her cousin, who brought her up because her parents had died, told her she needed to stop this. She's the queen. And she refused at first. And she gave some reasons why she thought that she could not be successful. But then her cousin responded back to her with the powerful words of Esther chapter 4, verses 14. He said to her, "For if you remain completely silent to this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place." Esther, it's happening. Now, whether you want to be part of it or not, that's a decision you have to make. He continued, "But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" See, she hadn't been a zucchini. Her success was years later, after much growth and much development and after much strengthening, to where she couldn't be brought down. And now she's in the position, and Mordecai, her cousin, said, "Esther, this is it. This is what this has all been about." And of course, she was moved by what he said. And she did the job, and what a wonderful story that is. But I think he was also telling her, "Esther, you're not going to get another shot at this." So in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, Solomon wrote some advice for us that is so good it's repeated in the New Testament. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10 says this, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." Paul repeated that theme in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, stating it a little bit different, and that's why I say he's repeating the theme, but he still gets the point across. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. "And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not to men." Keep in mind that whatever you're doing this for the Lord. Knowing, he said in verse 24, "that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Perhaps you'll remember that one talent man in the parable of the talents that Jesus gave. You know, to one man, the owner gave 10 pieces of money, to another 5 pieces, and to one man, just 1 piece of money. And the ones who had the 10 and the 5 used it to multiply what they had. But the one talent man took his 1 piece of money and hid it in the ground. Didn't even put it in the bank where he could get interest. And so when the owner came back, he wanted an accounting from his servants. And you know, the first 2 came and said, "You gave me 10, I made 10 more, 5 more." And the one talent man said, "Well, you know, here's what I have. You know, you're a severe man. You take what you haven't sown and so forth. So I went and hid mine in the ground. And so here you have back what is your own." And the owner told him it was wrong. He says, "You know how what kind of man I am. You just confessed that. So why didn't you put my money in the bank? And when I came back, I could have at least gotten the interest." So you know what he did? He took his talent from him and gave it to the one who had 10 talents. In other words, in the spirit, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. It's right to be content with what we have, but not with what we are. Although most people are content with who they are and not with what they have. All right, number 3. Success comes from using time wisely. Ephesians chapter 5 teaches us to arise. Wake up from our spiritual sleep. And use time wisely. Ephesians 5 verses 14 through 17 gives us this information from the Holy Spirit. Therefore he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." So Paul then makes this application. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Paul said we need to use our time wisely. Why is it that Charlie Chaplin was so famous? Well, he never stopped growing and he made good use of his time. He was always improving. Here's what he said. "When I am watching one of my pictures presented to an audience, I always pay close attention to what they don't laugh at. If, for example, several audiences do not laugh at a stunt I mean to be funny, I at once begin to tear that trick to pieces and try to discover what was wrong in the idea or in the execution of it. If I hear a slight ripple at something that I had not expected to be funny, I ask myself why that particular thing got a laugh." So even when you would think he'd be relaxing, he was learning. He was using his time wisely. For many, many years, I would go to a lectureship in Texas where they would have about 35 different speakers. It would last for a week. And as I would listen to them from 9 in the morning till 9 at night, there were some speakers who really held my attention. And when they were concluding, I thought, "What? You just started?" "Oh, no, he's been speaking for 40 minutes already." And others, after 5 minutes, I'm thinking, "Oh, is this ever going to end?" You know, it seemed like it had been 40 minutes or 40 hours, you know. And so I thought, I'm going to learn from this. And I started thinking, okay, why did this guy hold my attention and this one didn't? And it helped me to learn a great deal. And so in my daily work, I've tried to do the same thing. I keep a log. In fact, sitting right in my pew where I was sitting, I have a book that I used to write everything in, and I quit doing that a few weeks ago. Now I put it on my computer. Why I didn't do that a long time ago, I don't know. But I try to figure out, well, how come I didn't get much accomplished today? Oh, I look back and I say, well, that's why you didn't get anything done today. You know, and Carrie sometimes will say, "So how was your day today?" Well, I didn't get everything done that I wanted to get done, but I knew why. When I was in Klamath Falls, the man over there who worked with our teens had the teens, I think it was for a week, keep a log of everything they did. And they were shocked at how they used their time daily. You see, life is like a taxi, like riding in a taxi. The meter keeps going. Even if you ask the driver to stop while you run into the store or go do something, he doesn't say, oh, okay, I'll turn the meter off. He keeps on charging. He just keeps on charging. A few years ago, for the first time in my life and Carrie's life, we had to hire a lawyer concerning the place that we were buying, as some of you know. And, of course, they want a retainer fee up front and $200 an hour. So the first time I talked to this guy on the phone, I start chit-chatting. And right away, he stopped me. He was blunt. And he said, I'm charging you $200 an hour, and right now I'm on the clock. Okay, 1, 2, 3, is that it? Goodbye. You know, I hope I don't ever talk to you on the phone again. That's how life is, and you can't get it back once we've lost it, as you probably know. So to use time wisely, give God the first. Give God the first part of every day. Give God the first part of every week. Give God the first portion of your income. Give God the first consideration in every decision. Give God the first place in your life. Therefore, think about your potential and time. Potential and time is the opposite of a savings account. The longer I leave my money in the savings account or an investment or whatever, it increases in its value. In other words, if I just don't touch it, just leave it alone. If I don't touch my potential, its value decreases. And so really an unused life is like an early death. I really feel for people who, especially in their later years, pass all their time away watching TV. It's sad when they have so much to offer. But sometimes they will say, well, no one will listen to me. For the 19 years I was in Klamath Falls, we went to a place called the Claremont House after Sunday evening worship, and we would hold a worship service there. And I loved to stay afterwards and just listen to those old people talk. And I'd ask them questions. And they didn't know it, but I was at school. They were teaching me. And I told you, I think it was last Sunday night or two Sunday nights ago, why I liked it when the ladies came here for their ladies' class, which they just ended. Well, I'm going to give you another reason that I've never told them or anyone else. But when they're done with their class, they'd have Nathan and I and perhaps Bob Anderson and any others that showed up, eat lunch with them. And then I just loved to hear them talk. And I was making mental notes. Because I hear a lot of times older people say, oh, I wish I knew what I know now when I was younger, when I had the energy. So I thought to myself, especially when I was younger, okay, I'm young. So I'm going to listen to these people who say they now know some things that they wish they knew when they were my age. And wow, you can gain so much from people when you approach life that way. Every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up. And it knows that it must run faster than the fastest lion, or it'll be killed. It'll be the lion's breakfast. Every morning, a lion wakes up, and it knows that it must outrun the slowest gazelle, or it'll starve to death. So it doesn't matter whether you're a lion or a gazelle. When the sun comes up, run to the best of your ability. What is success? Let's say worldly success, if you're not a Christian. What if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? I'd like to end now by taking a look at Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 shows a successful man But he did not know Jesus. An angel of the Lord sent a preacher to intercept this successful man as he was riding in his chariot. And then in verses 27 and 28, Luke tells us this happened. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. So let's see now. This man had great authority. He personally, directly served a queen. He was in charge of her treasury. And he worshiped God. Sounds like a pretty good life to me. Would you not like what this man had? Yet the man lacked something. So the Holy Spirit then told this preacher to go and join the man. Verse 30 then says this. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the Ethiopian treasurer said that he needed help understanding the scriptures. And then Luke quotes for us the passage of scripture from Isaiah that this treasurer was reading. And then the preacher used that text to speak about Jesus. And watch what happens, starting at verse 34. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. So, how is your life? Is it good? Is it successful? Like this man, maybe only in some other ways? Or is it really bad? You know, whether good or bad, we want you to do what the Ethiopian treasurer did. Confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you're willing to do that, even on this morning, right here behind the screen, behind this wall here, we've got a baptistry full of water, and we'll baptize you into it. We've got things for you to change into. You don't have to worry about that. We'll take care of you is what I'm saying. If you're ready to do that, you can come forward right now as we stand and sing.